Good morning. It's good to see you this morning. We know that we've got a few folks that are vacationing, but we've got a pretty good crowd this morning. And so we're so glad that you're here. We pray that the Lord will bless you as we worship together here in the sanctuary. And if you're out in the parking lot, we want you to know that you're welcome. And if you're listening later this afternoon, or sometime maybe next week on the website, we're glad that you've joined us here at Barbie's Grove as we worship the Lord together. That's the good thing about the Lord. You worship at any time. I know that, our daughter and son-in-law are in Australia, and their time is 14 hours ahead of ours. So on Saturday night, about 7:30, I don't know how my wife can go on YouTube, and next thing you know, we're watching our granddaughter lead praise and worship and our son-in-law sing on Sunday morning. And what did I say, him sing? Okay, he preaches and she sings, but anyway. But sometimes he sings too because he's got a good voice. That's just a great to come and worship the Lord together. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the blessings you've given us. Lord, as we join together, may the Spirit of God speak to our hearts. Lord, you know all of our needs. You know our concerns, our attacks from the devil. You know whatever's on our mind and on our heart, whatever's troubling us. And so, Father, right now at this moment, may the blessed, precious Holy Spirit come and touch every heart, every life, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, good morning, everyone. It's good to see you all this morning, and it's always good to get back into the Lord's house. It's always a pleasure. We're going to do a hymn sing this morning, and we're going to do it, we'll use the piano up top again, and we'll get this. Mr. Jeff's going to help us. We've been talking in Sunday school about solid rock, and we've been studying Peter, and it seems like this song has just come to mind, and it's called The Solid Rock, and it's on page 406, but it's going to be up on the board there. Now, this arrangement's a little different, so watch out. There's a hold in here. And if I mess up, we're going to be messed up again. So I'm going to do it right. But I want you to be careful as you stand and you sing. We'll listen for the music, and we'll bring you back in. But it's on the chorus is where it stops and picks back up again. So let's go. The Solid Rock. As we stand, please, let's do verses 1, 2, and 4. All right.
Hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest name. On Jesus' name, on Jesus' name, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking. Seems to hide his face. I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand.
Said amen. love my... Well, you know, when you're trying to get used to a different piano player, it's just so hard. But no, that's all on the leader on that. But we got it. We got it toward the end, and that's all a good one. But I do have some announcements for you. Today we're going to be talking about Bible school, and so we need for you to, all of you that will be interested in helping with Bible school, I want you to meet with Aaron down front when we close today. So before you go that way, come this way, and let's talk about Bible school. If you'll be willing to volunteer your services for Bible school, and we'll talk about that. July the 11th will be choir rehearsal. We're going to get our choir back to going again, and I'm looking forward to that day. I really, truly am. And we'll continue on with the same schedule that we've been going, and that is Sunday school will be at 9 and worship and children's church at 10. Let's not forget our Wednesday night services. Our Wednesday night services are picking up, and we need to be more and more people come and be part of us at 6:30. So come and be part of our Wednesday night. That's all the announcements I have, except for the fact that no one has picked up this watch yet, and we found this watch cleaning the other week, some weeks back. And it's a pretty lady's watch, and so I'm going to lay it back down here again. If anybody's lost a watch, got one for you. All right, no other announcements. Let's go to the Lord, to the prayer request, please. I have several prayer requests that have been given to me. Let's remember the Beanie Leffner family, Chris Burris family, McCord's good friend, and his name Bill is doing fine and doing great. It was a praise report for McCord. And Pam has asked, and we should, and if we look at the national news, or international news, let's remember Israel. Let's lift them up. They are certainly going through some rough, rough times now. And so let's. Kathy High has asked us, remember her in travel mercy today. And now the Florida families, and that's such a sad situation in Florida. And let's remember those families as they stand and as they wait and as they hope. And each day makes the hope a little dimmer probably for them. But let's pray pray for those that are working on that site there and trying their very best to find the family, the ones that are missing. Okay? Any other prayer requests that I have that you need this morning? Yes.
I know I added Tim Moss to the prayer list, but now his wife Christy has also found out she has breast cancer.
Tim, what now?
Tim Moss.
Moss, okay.
So they're both dealing with.
And his wife.
Okay.
All right. That's Tim Moss and wife, okay? Yes.
I'd like to give a report on Karen's point of talking to
you. Oh, yes.
Long ago, the prayers of the church on her behalf are working. The doctors came over, they don't know how she got by without having surgery on that hand due to infection. But thus far, antibiotics are working. They seem to maybe she can get by without.
That's real good. I had her down here, Tim. I'm sorry about that, Kenny. I had her down here and overlooked it. So, okay, let's remember Karen Linker. But it's looking better then. That's good news. Okay, yes.
Tommy's son, Mark, you can take him off. He had two stents put in. He's got back to work.
Oh, good. Wonderful. Praise report. That's good. Like the good news.
Yeah.
Yes, Grant.
Sure. And thank y'all for prayers for Adam. He's doing good. He got his tonsils removed. And, other than a squeaky voice, he's...
Hey. You feeling all right? There you go. I like that. That's great. Wonderful. Anywhere else? You say Mally. Okay.
She's lost her appetite and she's just getting so weak because she can't eat.
Okay. All right. Anywhere else? Yes, Chris?
Steve Eford.
Steve Eford.
I used to work with.
And they told him if you need to do anything, you need to go ahead and do it.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Chris. Anywhere else? Then let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for another opportunity you've given us for a time of worship, a time of praise. And Lord, before I ask you for anything, Lord, I want to say thank you. Thank you for the ones that are here this morning. Lord, they come seeking a blessing, Lord, and we've already started, Lord, and we're looking forward to continuation of the service today. We ask your blessing upon all those who have a part today. And then, Lord, there are those that are hurting among us, that those that couldn't come today because they're not able to be here. Lord, we keep remembering those in the nursing homes, the rest homes, and how lonely a place it can be, especially now. But Lord, we're thankful, Lord, that things are beginning to ease up a little bit there and things are some better with visitations. But Lord, we still need to lift up these folks to you. And Lord, we pray for them daily. And then, Lord, there are those that are mentioned this morning that we want to lift up to you, the Benny Leffler family, and we pray for the loss of him. Chris Burris family, as they lost their loved one in him. And then, Lord, the praise report, we thank you for Bill and that he's better. But, Lord, remember your chosen folks from the Old Testament, Israel. Lord, we lift them up to you today. Help us, Lord, to be supportive of them in our prayers. We pray for Kathy High as she's traveling today. Give her traveling mercy, we pray. And then, Lord, on the horrible count in Florida, Lord, of all those folks, Lord, that are waiting patient it out to hear the good word, trying to hear good news, Lord, I pray for you that you would be with them, comfort them, Lord, we pray. And Lord, our Sunday school lesson has been on hope. Lord, we pray that you would continue to give them hope. We pray for them in their lives, Lord, we pray. Then, Lord, we ask a special blessing upon the Tim Moss and his wife. We ask to pray for them this morning. Good news for Karen Linker, Lord, and we pray, continue to pray for her and those attending to her, that the infection will soon be cleared up and away. And then, Lord, we ask that we pray for Ann's great nephew as they're traveling. Lord, we lift him up to you. And then Mally Leffner, that we pray for them. And then Steve Aford, we ask to lift him up for cancer. Lord, we pray for them. Now, Lord, we ask now that you'll go with us now further in this service today and be with our pastor as he comes and ministers to us. And Lord, we pray for the loss. We want us to help us, Lord, to be burdened for the loss. And then, Lord, are these many blessings I ask in your heavenly name. Amen. Now, for a praise music today, we're going to do things different. We're going to teach you a song. And this is a song that you've heard, I'm sure. But I'm going to leave the words up there and even the vocals on this one. And we're going to sing along with it. But it's a beautiful, beautiful song called Surely the Presence. You know the song? And it's one that I think is worth repeating several times in a year. So that's why I want us to sing it together. So bring it up, if you would, please, and let's do Surely He's in the Presence, okay? As I said, we're going to leave. You all can stand on this, please.
Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. I can feel I can hear the brush of angels' wings. I see glory on His face. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place.
Sing it again.
Surely the presence of the Lord. Feel His mighty power and His grace. I can hear the brush of angels' wings. I see glory on His face. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place.
do me a favor, turn around and say good morning to someone and welcome to church.
Time for children's church.
Yes.
Saying, surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. And that's true. You know, if you read the first three chapters of Revelation, it talks about the Lord walking amidst the candlesticks, walking amidst the churches. Yes. Jesus also said, where two or three are gathered in his name, he was there. We don't have to pray for the Lord to come. He's here. And it is great to see his glory on your faces. Praise the Lord. Now, sometimes I think, now, Lord, why that sermon? But, you know, I just learned when he says that's the one, then that's the one we go for. And that's sort of the way it is this morning. I don't know whether this is for one person or for all of us or for somebody listening on the web or in the parking lot, but... We're going to look at Scripture. And you know, there's a chapter in Matthew, and we're going to be in Matthew. There's a chapter there where it looks like Jesus says something at one place and then contradicts himself at another place. But we know that Jesus doesn't contradict himself. We know that what he says is always true and what he says is right. So there must be a difference. And so let me give you this thought. As we grow and mature as followers of Jesus, we should become wise, thoughtful fruit inspectors and become gentle correctors instead of harsh critics. Now let me read that to you again. As we grow and mature as followers of Jesus, we should become wise, thoughtful fruit inspectors and become gentle correctors instead of harsh critics. Amen. Turn to Matthew chapter 7. Judge not that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged, and what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again. Why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? How about thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. What's Jesus saying there? He says, we need to be careful about our judgmental attitude. We need to be careful about how we criticize others. He says, you're going to be judged by the same yardstick that you use to judge others. And then he also says, you need to check out your own sins and weaknesses and faults before you look at your brother's. Jesus is warning us against having a harsh, finger-pointing, critical spirit. He's saying to us, what's your attitude? Don't criticize another. You remember the saying, don't criticize somebody else till you've walked a mile in their shoes. Sometimes it's so easy to say, I never knew that. I don't know why in the world they did that. I'd never do that. How do we know if we were in the same shoes, in the same situation, with the same, I'll say, temptation or somebody provoking us, that we wouldn't do the same thing or even worse? Over the years, I've met a lot of people say, you'll never catch me doing that. And 10 years later, I caught them doing it. You know, we never know what the situation is. And Jesus is saying, we need to be careful about having that critical spirit. It's so easy to criticize somebody else's clothes. Well, maybe that's the best they've got. Criticize somebody living on the wrong side of the tracks. Oh, you know, going to high school, I lived on the wrong side of the tracks. All of us lived over on the Mill Hill. We didn't measure up to those that lived over in East Albemarle. And they let you know it. Okay, we all turned out pretty good, or most of us. Oh, we had a bootlegger or two, but... But we had a preacher or two to balance it out, you know. So it's easy to criticize. You know, the Pharisees in Jesus' day, they were so good at keeping all the rules and saying, look at us. Look at us. We wash our hands just so whenever we go to, and we don't let our robes touch any unclean thing when we go to the market, and we tithe out of our you can go to the garden, and I don't know whether they had tomatoes or not, but we count the tomatoes and give our 10% of the tomatoes and all of that kind of thing. They kept the rules, but boy, their hearts were hard. What do you mean healing somebody on the Sabbath? We can't believe you would violate the Sabbath by healing somebody. Hard-hearted. You remember that lady that was so bent over in, what was it, 13 years or 18 years, a long time? And Jesus healed her on the Sabbath? And you thought the elder man said, hallelujah, praise the Lord. After all these years, this lady has been set free. But no, their hearts were hard and critical that Jesus would violate something on the Sabbath. You see, that critical spirit, Jesus said, we need to be careful about that. And you know, it's easy to see other sins and not our own. Look at that drunk over there. Look at that druggie. Look at that person committing adultery. But you know, the Bible talks about gossip and lust. And the New Testament is full of unforgiveness. And desecrating the Lord's day. And in the eyes of God, sin is sin. You know? All it takes is one chain, one link of that chain to break, and Michael might have a headache. It doesn't take all of them, just one. And sin is sin, but it's so easy as a Christian or a non-Christian to point our finger and say, look at him or look at her. And at the same time, we have a bad attitude. We have a lustful spirit. We have an unforgiving spirit. We have a hard heart. And Jesus says to us, listen, you need to be careful about your attitude as you look at your brothers and sisters. It makes all the difference in the world. All the difference in the world. Now, I realize that in our culture, there's people that say, you Christians shouldn't judge. And we'll get to that in a minute. But how is our attitude? That harsh, critical spirit. Now, it's one thing in love to correct somebody, to point out a need, to encourage, to help a brother or sister. And the New Testament is full of that. Where we go to a brother or sister, and you know, Paul says one time he had to confront Peter. Because Peter had gotten off. But that harsh, critical, unloving spirit, Jesus says we as believers ought to be growing out of that as we mature and follow the Lord. Now, if you go on just a few verses later, it's almost like Jesus is contradicting himself. Look at verse 15. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them. There Jesus said, listen, you need to be fruit inspectors. Earlier he says, don't be judgmental, harsh, critical, unloving. But here he says, at the same time, in wisdom, and in a careful, thoughtful attitude, be aware of the situation that's going on around you. Be aware of people. And you think about, one of the parables that Jesus told, how the farmer went out and sowed good seed. And then at night, an enemy went out and sowed tares or weeds. And they came up together. And the farmer's servants wanted to go out and just start pulling up the weeds. And he says, no, you'll disturb the good. But wait till the end. Wait till the end. And then the good shall be separated from the tares. The wheat shall be saved. The tares shall be burned. Jesus told that. He said, you'll be able to tell which is which. You'll be able to know what's the weeds and what's not. You remember on more than one occasion, I think, Jesus told the disciples, you beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. The leaven, the yeast. In other words, you be aware of what the Pharisees are teaching you and how they're living. You be aware of the attitude of the Pharisees. Be careful. They're teaching and saying one thing and living another. You remember Jesus talking about how they love to make long prayers and then stole from the widows. In my devotional this week, I was reading that place where they were criticizing Jesus, and he said, listen, you guys, says, you made your own rules higher than the rule of God. God said, take care of your parents. You say, I'm going to give whatever I should have used to take care of you to the church when I die. So I'm going to be able to use that all of my whole life. Sorry, Mom and Dad, tough luck if you go hungry. And he says, listen, God said first, but you made a rule. You see, their hearts were hard. And Jesus says to his disciples, you better watch out for their attitude. Now you think about how this applies as wise fruit inspectors. Who stands in the pulpit? Who stands as a teacher? Who do we listen to on the radio or the TV or the internet? What about those who call themselves prophets? And there are godly men and women that are prophets. And then there's some that aren't. What about politicians? What comes out of their mouth? And how do they live? What about potential mates? Well, if I'd have known what I know now, I wouldn't have married him. But yet, right before I married him or right before I married her, I knew down inside I shouldn't do that. And the Holy Spirit was trying to tell us, don't do it. What about opportunities to go to college or places we'd work or other things? Wise and wisdom and listening to the leadership of the Holy Spirit. For He will direct us. He will guide us. I have a friend that several years ago, he had some money he wanted to invest. And he went to a Christian friend of his, and they worked up a portfolio for him to invest his money. But he says, down inside, he said, something's not right about this deal. And so he backed off and just didn't do it. 6 months later was when we had the 2007-2008, and the economy tanked. He just said he had lost most of his money. But he kept it. I mean, he might not have been getting but 0.001% in the bank, but he had all of it rather than half of it, a third of it. You know, the leadership of the Holy Spirit, that wise fruit inspection. And all around us, we have opportunities for the Holy Spirit to lead and guide and direct our paths. So many situations. And Jesus said, beware of those false prophets. How does what they teach line up with the way they live? You know, that's so important. How does what they teach line up with what they live? How does what they teach line up with the Word of God? Beware of people that say, I know the Bible says, but here's the way I feel about it. Back off. Anyone that wants to negate the Word of God, I don't want to listen to. Was it the people in Berea that Paul complimented? For he said, they were more noble than those in Thessalonica because Paul would teach and then they'd go get their scriptures, which would have been the Old Testament. to check out and see if what Paul was teaching was correct. They weren't just sponges, just soaking in everything that everybody said and believing it. They said, we're going to check it out by the Word of God. And that's so wise. Jesus says, we have to be careful of that harsh, critical spirit. But at the same time, there's a wisdom in being fruit inspectors. Because every day, you have opportunities to be confronted with the media and with others saying this, that, or the other. And you have to know, is this from God or not from God? And it's so much better when you have good fruit presented to you than bad. Now, because I've done grocery stuff since I was 8 years old, it's just always been easier for me to do the grocery shopping than my wife. Now, I don't know whether anybody but me, but it's really, really disgusting to be over there picking out oranges or grapefruit, and you reach over there and you pick up one, and when your fingers hit the back side of it, it goes squish, and you realize you've just grabbed a rotten orange or grapefruit. Anybody ever do that besides me? You know, it's disgusting. It looked good, you know, the side that was out here for me to pick it up, but the back half was rotten. And you think, what do you do? Where did I wipe my hands? Need to be wisdom. Because there's some rotten fruit out there that will be troublesome, will be dangerous if we're not wise. You know, the Bible says that in the last days, Satan will be so deceptive that even the very elect, the chosen of God, might be deceived. And we don't want to be that way. We don't want to be that way. I'll soapbox for just a minute. You know, when I say something, do the actions and lifestyle validate? Sort of irritates me to have somebody fly all the way across the country in their private jet to warn me about carbon emissions. And they just burned up more carbon emissions than this whole congregation would usually in a year to warn me about it. Are you kidding me? And there's a lot of things like that happen. Jesus said, be careful about a critical spirit, but at the same time, be wise in your choices. Wise in your relationship with others. Now, what difference does it make? What difference does it make anyway? Well, you know, loving kindness builds good relationships. That's a message all the way back to the Old Testament. You know, in the book of Proverbs, it says, a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. You know, when we're soft and gentle and in our correction of others. Helpful in our trying to see where they're at fault, but at the same time aware of our own frailties and our own humanness. There's a lot more joy and peace in relationship. And it sure makes a difference in a church where there's loving correction and loving care and loving ministry to one another than where there's a harsh critical spirit. It makes all the difference in the world in the life of a church. It makes the difference in a family, between a husband and a wife, parents and children, in-laws and outlaws. Is there that one uncle or aunt that you hope doesn't show up at the family reunion? Because you know that their sharp tongue, critical spirit, it doesn't matter how good the cornbread is, it's not as good as theirs. And you just hope they don't show. Because you know that if they don't show, that it's going to be a peaceful, enjoyable, loving family reunion. It makes all the difference in the world in families. You know, sometimes in a job situation, sure, I'm glad they retired. Because you could never do the job well enough to suit them. It makes a difference. It makes a difference. At the same time, when we become wise fruit inspectors, we choose our mates more carefully. We choose where we go to school and what we study more carefully. We study our investments more carefully. And we're more careful in selecting our political leaders and our spiritual leaders. I mean, let me be honest. You know, in 55 years or so as a pastor, I don't know how many dozen men have served as deacons that I've served with. And I've served with some super nice guys. But I've served with some and I thought, how in the world did he ever get elected? What were they thinking? I don't even think he's saved. Much less godly and mature. He gives no evidence of even being saved. And I'm not talking about anybody at Barbie's Grove, please. No, you got some good guys here. You've got some good guys. And I appreciate them. But in some of the other places, not so much. So, it's the same way with pastors. You know, I've served with hundreds of guys, and you go to a pastor's conference and you think, are you serious? How did he get to be a pastor? Or in some cases, how did she get to be a pastor? When I went to some interdenominational meetings. Wise fruit inspection helps us to be careful about the spiritual leaders that we follow. When somebody gives you a spiritual book and say, this is a good book, and you start reading and the Holy Spirit inside of you says, something is not right here. I remember one that I was given and I couldn't figure out. It just wasn't right. And then I found out it was came from the Mormons. And then I realized that's what discolored it enough. And Jesus here is, you see, he's not really contradicting himself. Jesus is giving us wise, godly advice. More than just advice, telling us how we should live in a way that we are aware of all that's going on around us. And we're loving as we deal with others, but at the same time, we are wise as we make choices, recognizing those who are godly and those who are pretenders. And though we didn't read it, the very next verse, Jesus said, "Not everyone that saith unto me," 21, "not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." Not everybody that says, "I'm a Christian," really is. And that's where that wise fruit inspection makes a difference. I pray that each of us, starting right here with me, are careful in the way we criticize, loving in the way we help others, and wise in the way we minister, the way we choose, the way we live our lives. You see, Jesus was trying to help us make the most of the years of our life so that we could be blessed. We could be a blessing and we would not be fooled. As we have a time of invitation, if there's something that the Lord has spoken to you about today that you need to come to the altar, whether you just need to come to the altar or whether you need to come and talk with me, I invite you to come. Just a moment. Father, as we bow before you this morning, I thank you for the precious, holy word of God. I thank you for the teaching, the instruction that our Lord gave us. Father, I pray that each one of us, including this preacher, is careful about how we deal with others, that our tongues might be tongues of sweetness and not critical. At the same time, I pray that we might be led by the Holy Spirit so that we might make wise choices in all of the trivial and important things of life. And I thank you, Father, that you don't leave us to do that on our own, but you do give us the Spirit to direct us. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you and give you peace. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for coming, and remember Bible school right here up front.